Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Women Versus.
I'm your host, Jasmine.
And I'm your host, Monsi.
And this week's episode is titled Women Versus the 21st Century.
So before we get started, did you catch this week's episode of Euphoria? Oh, by the way, there will be spoilers when we talk about it. So just skip like a good chunk into the podcast.
I feel like we're making this podcast half a Euphoria podcast by now.
Pretty much.
But I did. And I have a lot to say. Let me think. First, I don't like Cassie right now.
Oh yeah,
I don't like what she's doing.
Rooting for her for a bit, and I'm like, no, she did some questionable things this episode.
And the thing is, it's like I do know she has trauma right now. I know she has her own like self-esteem issues. But the thing is, the fact of the matter is how bad Nate is. The way he literally said, we shouldn't be doing this anymore. Like, he knew enough to say, this is wrong. Like, let's stop. And she said, no.
But I don't think that Nate said it because he's a good person. I think that he said it because Maddie has the tape of his dad. He knows Maddie has the tape. And so he knows that if it comes out, she will ruin his life.
I forgot about that. I did forget about that.
Yeah.
And I think, you're right. He noticed because they did show the scene that he was looking through his stuff and he realized, like, she took it. But the thing is, the fact that he, like, Cassie knows, because when he said, when they were, like, in that little construction building house thing, he goes, like, Cass, and he goes, Maddie will, plan to kill me, but she will actually kill you, Cassie. And it's like, it's true. Like, she knows all the facts, and it's like, why are you continuing? I don't know.
And she was like, so triggered when he was like, we can't do this. She like started crying, and I was like, well, what did you expect? Is like Maddie not your best friend? Were you just gonna like keep this whole thing up behind her back the entire time?
I know. It's like, I don't really get it. But I think this kind of goes into our first question that we have today. It's, can friends date each other's exes? Big question.
I'm on a very, it's not black or white. I'll say that. It's very gray area depending on the relationship that person A and B had.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Right? And then you just have to like, I guess like for the friend, like who will be person C in this hypothetical, like has to be.
You have to see. And you also, I think there's factors on, say it's my friend's ex, right? You have to see how your friend felt after the relationship and how they feel. And then also, I feel like time is a factor and the way it ended. Like, let's think of all our, like, potentials. So, for example, Cassie and Maddie. In this scenario, enough time hasn't passed. And Cassie knows Maddie isn't over me. Like, the way it ended isn't like a, oh, for sure, I'm moving on. Like, I'll never, like, I have love for him, but I'm over it. It's not that. So it's like, that's a line that she shouldn't be crossing because she knows. Like, look, even Maddie did say, she goes, I think I'm going to take Nate back.
Yeah. I think also, like, with that one, like, specifically in mind, Cassie also knows how much Maddie likes Nate. And, like, how their relationship was. Also, she knows who Maddie is as a person in the sense that, like, Maddie is not someone, I think years could pass and she'd be like, no, you can't date Nate. Like, that was my
answer. No, I agree. She is that personality and there's girls like that. So it's like, the fact that she's that person, it's like, no, once it's happened, like, I care about my friend loyalty way more regardless of the guy or anything. No. And I get that and to some degree.
I do too.
Like, I feel like sometimes, also, okay, me and my friend has said this before, like my international relations friend, this is my personal opinion, I wouldn't be able to date my friend's ex because I would just think my friend telling me everything they did, everything they've done together, everywhere they've been. So I would just always be like, if we're doing something, like, oh, like in my head I'd be like, wait, you guys went to this place for dinner too, like you did that, oh my god, I remember when you guys did that, like I would be like living through it like secondhandly. I don't even know.
I think also for Cassie, she knew like how Nate was in a sense with Maddie because like she told him he was like abusive, he was like this, that, right? Like they all knew. Cause like remember season one when we were at Cat's table, like when they were at Cassie's house and then Kat and Maddie got in a fight, like, like, Cassie knew what was going on, but she still, like, for her to go for someone like that, it's, like, really bad.
That is true, too, because it's, like, regardless of the Maddie thing, it's, like, it's not even that Nate is objectively a good guy. So, it's, like, I mean, that's a different topic, and I think we've talked about in other episodes how, like, our generation, like, whatever, we have this, like, weird appeal to toxic guys and masculinity, but still, it's, like, his was a little excessive, so it's, like, to go and do that. And then I think another one along the same wavelength is Brooke and Peyton from One Tree Hill. Like, for example, Peyton going for Lucas when Brooke was currently in love with Lucas, wanted to be with him, all of that. It's just the exact same thing. It's like, it was too soon. Time hasn't passed. Feelings are there. Your loyalty right now in that moment lied more with Brooke than it did with Lucas. Even though everything ended up all happy after, it's like, it wasn't in the moment because it's, you betrayed your friend in that moment.
And then you also have to see, like, the timeline of the friend and then the ex's, like, relationship too. Because, like, if there's overlap, that's definitely not okay. I think that would throw me off. Like, maybe I could be like, okay, fine. Like, you, whatever, like, go for it. But if I find out later that, like, there's, like, the timing's messed up, right? Like, it was during, well, we were, like, in an on-off phase or whatever it was, that would, for me, would be, like, I'm cutting you both off. Because that's, like, that's horrible, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. I think, okay, so, like, on a different, the opposite side of this, where I feel like it is okay, is, okay, yeah, so the book we were reading, me and Monty both have read this book. A lot of book talk readers here will probably have read it, Love Hypothesis. So, for example, in this situation, I'll just use names because it's easier. Olive had, like, a little thing with, okay, so what I was saying was, in this scenario in the book, Olive had a thing with a guy named Jeremy, okay? But then she realized that her friend Anne and Jeremy basically hit it off, and she goes, oh, like, I feel like they're vibing. But out of loyalty, Anne was actually like, no, I'm not gonna, like, pursue anything. But the thing is, in this scenario, for example, Anne was like, nothing really escalated with Jeremy. They didn't really develop hard feelings. And she was like, I truly don't even feel any ways. So what she did is, her, the whole book plot was kind of like a little excessive in the sense she did the most to kind of like put herself in a different situation to prove to Anne that she's over Jeremy. But in that scenario, for example, I think that's where it's okay though, because Olive was actually like never really liked or in love with Jeremy in this situation. Like, so the best friend wasn't betraying, because the friend was like, I'm fine with it, like, I'm truly fine, like, I have someone else. So I think that's where it's okay, because also, like, time has passed and whatnot.
Yeah, that's where the excessiveness came on, like, when Anne was doing the most to be like, yeah, prove it, prove your, like, prove it over him. But no, I feel like that's a positive, like, healthy way to do it. But the only difference between that and, like, other things are, I feel like you also have to see the seriousness of the relationship, because, like, Olive and Jeremy, they just went on a couple dates, whereas, like, say, for example, what else do we have here? Serena and Blair. Okay, Blair and Nate were, like, fully together, like, in a relationship, whatever, yeah. And Serena, like, just, like, did whatever she did.
That's true. No, you're right. And I think that's even when it's harder at first, like, even when I think what it was, like, season 3 or 4, when, like, Serena and Nate actually got together for, like, that little bit. Obviously, Blair at that point was fine because she was with Chuck. She was like, I'm fine. I'm okay with it. But it's still, like, weird to a point, because both of them were best friends and knew every, like, that was a situation where, again, like, Serena knew everything from Blair's perspective and vice versa. And it's just, like, it's still interesting, but that's when it is okay, because enough time passed and Blair was like, I would never, like, I realize that I'm over that.
I think, like, I'm trying to, like, put myself in that scenario right now, and I'm just like, time would have to pass. I could not be okay.
I would, like, never. I would be so okay. Also, wouldn't you be awkward, like, if it's like a group hang and you're just like, oh, hi, we were just together like a month ago.
We did that too. Yeah, no, I would need time, like, bare time.
And time, for example, is our last example here. If anyone has seen Selling Sunset, Mary and Jason dated. ages ago. Like, I don't even know when. But look how friendly they are now. Like, they are like best friends. So the fact that Chrishell, which is Mary's BFF, was dating Jason, I actually still think it's weird. Like, I still stand by the fact that it's like, if you and your best friend are that close, don't you feel weird because you're doing everything the same? But that's my own opinion. But the fact is, Mary's fully married to a different guy. Like, she is so fine with it. She feels no ways, and that's when it's okay.
I'm just trying to think. If you were with someone, or if I was, sorry, if I were with someone, and we'd been together for, like, quite some time or whatever, and then we broke it off, and then years passed later, and you'd be like, oh, like, this person and I reconnected, I would be triggered. I would. At first, I would, but I think, like, if I was, like, in another relationship, and it was, like, long-term solid, I think I could get over it. But like, time would need to pass. Like,
I hate to say, I feel like I would be like a Maddie. I can't imagine that. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, 3 years from now,
if for some reason you come across
and you're like, you know,
knowing the things I know, no. I think we're thinking about the same person too. No, in your scenario, no.
No, but not even that. If I don't think I would be okay. Like, I'd be like,
no, I wouldn't be okay, because I'd be like, oh, so like the whole time that I was with, like, you were attracted, this was like a for you.
I didn't even think of that aspect.
We're discovering with things all like live. Yeah, it's like there was like, you always thought that person was like an option.
Okay, and that goes for your friend and your ex you're talking about, right? Because I believe that's like the, whoa,
yeah,
I'm like getting triggered right now.
And the only way it would work is if your friend didn't know that person ever. Like,
no,
I feel
then,
like for Mary and Chrishell, because like,
that's true.
Chrishell
that's
didn't
true.
Meet Jason. She didn't know Mary either. So like, that she came into the factor after. So it's like fine in a sense.
Yeah,
like,
it
cool
is.
About it, but
because then she realized, she's like, okay, Mary, you're fine with it. You're cool. Okay, cool. Like, I have no issues. But
if you've been friends a while and then that happens, it's like that
Blair and Serena
always there. Well, it was. We know for that.
Exactly. And that's the same with, like, even Brooke and Peyton. Like, they all knew Lucas at the same time. And it's like, when that happened, it's like, oh, so you've been pining after my boyfriend.
I don't know. There's, like, a million fish in the sea. Why go for the same one your friend has seen?
That's the thing, too. It's just, like, is it that? Like, I don't know. I can't. And that's even, like, right now. That means, like, for Maddie, for example, when Maddie finds out, she's going to be like, so, Nate, you've always thought, when we all hung out, you always thought you like you always liked Cassie? When you shoot with McKay,
like Cassie or something, bro.
I actually think, I don't know. I remember, but that comes from his, like, I think he has this weird, like, misogynistic thing about him. You know what I mean?
Their situation's a good example, but Nate's not, like, a good, like, part of that. For an example, I think. Yeah. Okay. So, on that note, I'm thinking how to, like, make this, like, crossover work. I don't know if I can. Anyways. So, say you're with someone, and then, you know, you guys are, like, playing games, whatever, and they start using the jealousy game against you. Does making someone jealous work to get someone back or to make someone mad? Like, does it work? Is it worth doing?
Okay. I feel like I have to say, it's never worth
you
doing.
Have first, oh, my God. You have first-hand experience. You have first-hand experience of this. You do.
I do. I hate my life. It works. I'll say it. It works. But I think the way it works is, I haven't experienced the latter half of this, what I'm about to say. It works when both parties are still interested in each other and they're still both wanting to play games and wanting to, like, not one person's over it. Because the second half, for example, if someone's truly moved on and, like, mentally, you know, when, like, obviously guys can do this too, but for girls, for example, when you are, like, over a guy, you've thought about it for a while and you're, like, done. Like, there's nothing that can make you go back. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what happened, whether it's your own personal stuff, you've got the ick, I don't know what it is. When that's happened, for example, jealousy and stuff won't work. Nothing work, because you're like, there's nothing that's making me want to go back. But if, when you're still in that weird in between, like, there's no real reason, all that stuff, you're so distracted. 100%. Both parties. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like,
I hate that games work.
Okay, we're not sure where we cut off because like the internet was being wonky again, which sucks. But I think we were.
Wait.
Okay. You're back.
Oh, it's working. It's working.
Yeah, it's working. Okay, sorry about that. So we were just talking about the jealousy aspect. So I think you had finished off saying like it's a matter if both parties are interested or not. I agree with that. I think like it's I don't know. I haven't personally been through it really. So reading about it or watching it in shows, it's like entertaining, but like I don't know how it would be in like real life. It's really nice. I don't know.
Yeah, I think like, okay, I feel like when both people are like wanting to like get back to you or like whatever, like stay in contact, it works and it's all fun and stuff. And then it only works because then you're both like in a weird like, okay, fine, like I'll just get back in, like we'll talk again. But I don't think it is. Sometimes when it's too extreme, it can be like it can backfire. Oh my god, this actually brings me back to Euphoria when we think about it. Remember in season one, the party where Maddie makes Nate jealous in the pool with that guy?
Yeah.
Like, for example, to a point at work, because she fully got Nate's attention, he was triggered. He was like, hello, what is happening? And then obviously Maddie did go, she wants to come back with Nate after, but sometimes to an extreme, it like other people, like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. You don't think about the person who gets caught in the crossfire of the two people who are in the relationship or whatever. Because like
usually for that guy, I feel like
did not end up good.
Yeah, for that guy, that was like an extreme measure because I feel like usually it doesn't matter. Like, for example, in a setting when you're in a university, you go out in the evening, you know what I mean? Like that kind of environment is different because I feel like the third person doesn't really matter for anyone, if that makes sense. Like, especially, okay, everyone here, if you're listening, you go to Waterloo, like, you know how small Waterloo is. So I feel like it's really easy to make someone jealous in Waterloo. Because when you go out, everyone's there. Like, when we used to go out in first year, like, do you remember how we used to see basically everyone you know? Like, in first year, too. So it's like, when you're there, you're like, oh, wow, it's like so-and-so and so-and-so. So it's, like, so easy to do what you want to do and get everyone to see.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to talk about Dean and Allie from off campus?
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know too much. I don't remember too much about it. So I remember like more of like the first book. Unfortunately the second one. Unfortunately.
It's basically just an example from like the books, like off campus series. I think it's the third one. For example, like so this couple, Dean and Allie, they're like in so many words, just a sneaky link at this point. But it works. He makes her jealous because they're out in like a bar setting. Mm-hmm. He's talking to someone else fully in front because they're not like an established thing. And then it works because after she like leaves, because I think I'm wrong. She makes him jealous because she goes with a dress and whatnot. She goes and he's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, fully teasing me and whatnot. She goes, I'm fine. I'm just like, do the most. And then as she leaves, like then he follows her and boom, it works. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it works.
Okay, let's move on to our next little question. So how much does personality raise someone on a scale of 1 to 10? So I think it does a lot. Like, I think personality 100%. Makes like a huge impact. Like, for example, okay, I'll just give an example of everyone's internet boyfriend right now, Jack Harlow. He on a scale of like 1 to 10 in terms of looks is like what, like a 6 or 7, but his personality makes him a 10. Same with Pete Davidson.
Oh,
literally, Pete
God,
Davidson.
Yeah.
I did not think he was like anything until I saw him like in interviews or his stand-up comedy stuff, and then I was like, "Oh my God, wait!"
Like, wait. I stand by that. If you're funny, like you're a 10. Like, if you're like your personality, you can hold a conversation. You're personable in front of people. You can make me laugh. 10. And things I've learned that in my life now, I'm like, moving forward, like the next person I ever like get involved with, I'm like, you have to be funny, you have to talk and hold a conversation. Like, I feel like it's so like you're and I think
people right now are funny
other
too.
Way if you're, you don't have a personality, I think you go down a couple points. Said what I said.
People right now have personality and they're funny, it's fine. No, I'm kidding.
No, they
don't. Back to like the Euphoria example, I think Fez is a really good example of this. Dude, he's not like the cutest. But like his personality just makes him like a 10.
I love him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and all of these we're talking about, like, we're being very like stereotypical in this question framing, in the sense of we're talking about like looks wise maybe might be lower, and then their personality brings them up. But another aspect is say they're just like their persona to the world is very different, like nothing wrong with their looks, but then when you get to know them, mm-hmm. their personality doesn't even have to be funny, it's just something different for you. Like we have two examples here from the books that we're talking about that can also just raise them on a scale. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want me to spoil Spanish Love Deception or no?
Could you do it without spoiling?
let me try. I just don't, obviously, you know what, like it's a rom-com,
it's not gonna ruin it.
But I'll be vague in the sense, like, he's a very broody, I don't like you, Catalina thing, right? Like, you know what I mean, to the world. But then obviously when they're like together, he's all like nice, sweet, and all this stuff. And he like notices all the small things. He goes, I've always known you've like done this and that. And it's like, what?
Oh, I remember but he like gets to like tacos or something. I saw him on TikTok. Something like that.
There's so many things. But like I feel like that, and that's the same with like that previous book we were just talking about, Love Hypothesis. Yeah, like,
oh my god,
go on, you so, can explain this one.
Adam is like so mean. So he's supposed to be like this like pro, like he's a PhD prof, like research person. I'm not like a science student. I could like barely I wasn't there for the science part of the book. I really wasn't. But he's like her prof or something like that, and he just has like this like very mean, standoffish, like cold personality to everyone else. And then when they're together, he like remembers she likes like pumpkin spice lattes, or like that she gets nervous, and just like small things like that. And that just like raises his personality even more. So that was very nice to read about.
Yeah, and I feel like, so that's like both of these books, for example, they both are like, that personality is a little different, like to the world or something else, but to us, like, you're so nice, and like your personality just like raises you 100%. Because I feel like, for example, like someone like that, if they like stayed the same, like with you, then you're like, okay, like that is your personality, it's not anything crazy. Yeah,
that's how Nate is too. Like, remember in like season one, this is really turning into a Euphoria podcast. Like, what is this? Remember how like Rue was explaining like Nate was like very good at the beginning of the relationship to her?
Yeah, he was really like attentive and sweet.
I think he's doing the same thing to Cassie.
I saw on TikTok. I'm sorry, because everyone knows like Nate is a bad guy, so it's funny when everyone romanticizes him. They're like, it was so funny the wording. It's like in the bathroom in the first episode of season two when he goes, Cass, don't worry, like I got you, we'll figure this out. He's like calming down. Everyone's like, oh my god, he's so nice, like he's caring for her. He's trying to not get call everyone.
Yeah. Next question, why long distance can work in our generation? And then it's a two-part question, and then why do we have trust issues? So I don't think they can work.
I agree.
Example one, couch boy. And I rest my case. The end.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, this is, someone told me this, like my friend. She goes, we as humans were not made to be able to be able to connect with every single person in the world. That is why relationships used to work. The fact that we have the ability at our fingertips, whether it's a dating app or just social media or email, texting someone, FaceTiming, whatever, every single person in the world, it's impossible for trust to remain and for loyalty to remain. And honestly, long distance, like I feel like in a relationship, it's really hard to sustain because like you just want to be with someone, you know what I mean? And I think it obviously it does depend on the maturity levels of the people. Like I think if you have a good foundation from the beginning of your relationship, like say you've been together for like x amount of years and then you go long distance, it could easily work. But if it's forever, I don't think so. If it's for a bit and you come back, it can easily work. I've seen it.
Yeah,
but say you're only like together for a bit and then you go long distance and you're off to a rocky start, it's hard to keep that level up.
I don't think like a newfound relationship can like be long distance and work. Even like long-term relationships have a hard time standing like the test of like distance, because it's a lot for both.
Even if you throw in like a time difference in there.
Oh yeah, like for sure. That's like the worst too.
Because then it is hard. Like, yes, I know it's effort. like if you want to stay up and message and call, but it's like to sustain something like that every day, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Imagine like you're like with someone like in Australia, like the time difference is like literally killer. It's like,
oh my god, right? yeah exactly. Like I just think it's not as likely that it would work. And in our generation, especially us, like this age and younger, I don't know. I don't have hope. Like from what I've been seeing, I really just don't have hope in our generation.
But while our take on it is very cynical, here's like three examples which prove that maybe like long distance works. So the first one is Love Rosie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's with Sam and like Lily Collins.
Yeah, I remember.
For them, they were like best
friends. But weren't they friends first? Yeah, they were
friends. Yeah, they were best friends, but they were both like in love with each other at the wrong time. And so like it just like kept not working for them, but like they stayed in contact and everything. And at the end it worked. And then to all the boys, I'm not who was like the long distance in that one?
For which one?
The second one, to all the boys.
Remember like when they when she goes to New York?
Oh
and
yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
In the third movie, he goes to Stanford and long distance. And it ended up working. Like that was the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. The kissing booth, it didn't work. Right? I don't remember the end of that one.
Wow,
though.
I forgot. The kissing booth. Yeah. But that was But again,
was,
I feel
weird.
Like that was,
she came with like a weird haircut.
But they didn't have a good foundation per se. Cause at that point when they're only dating for like a year, like movie span, I think. So it's like I get that. Like it's not easy. Like especially because when they started dating, he went straight to college. So then they were dating. Then imagine she was still in the hometown, but then she also went to college. So it's like it's just like it's hard to be so optimistic in those settings. Like I don't want to sound like a pessimist. I feel like I'm a realist.
No, it works. That movie was just like something else, especially that last one.
Ew, it didn't need to be made.
No. Another example is Christina Loren's book, Love in Other Words. I just recently read it. It's similar to Love Rosie, but they do start dating like a lot earlier. And it's like how they keep going back and forth. Like she comes like it's like she has like a beach house where he actually lives. And so like every summer she'll come, or like whenever she has a like, break, she'll come there. And their thing was like something big happened. And then they just stopped talking for years. Like they didn't talk for like 10 years after, but then they still loved each other. And it ended up working out in the end because it's a rom-com. But like, so like, it just goes to show, like, I guess like the timing of the relationship and the depth of it really do matter.
Yeah, no, I agree. I guess this kind of goes into our next one-ish. We're all like on the relationship topic. We framed it like this because this is our, again, our little pessimist realist view on life. Why is the, I'm air quoting, what are we, question forbidden nowadays?
I feel like anyone who's asking what are we, and I feel like women the most are like that relation, that question is like a relationship killer or a situationship killer.
But see, that's where in my head I'm like, what is wrong with our generation that is a killer? That is my like whole argument. It's like it shouldn't be. And it's like
the unfortunate truth is people in these relationships will be getting the benefits of a relationship without putting a label on it, and then be able to also have the same thing with like on like two, three other people. So it's like, why put a label on one and be exclusive if you can get like the You're same right. thing from different people?
And I agree with, like, obviously I'm not saying all situations, but like in some like movies and TV shows that we'll see, it's like when you're doing that, like you're giving everything that a relationship would have without that label, then you choose to be like, okay, I want to put the label. The other party might be like, I mean, like the way they get away from it is being like, we've basically been acting like we're in a relationship, why do we have to define it? Because that gets them out of it, and it's like both parties have been doing everything that's a relationship, which obviously is its own like decision, choice, whatnot. But then I find it just so funny and interesting how our whole generation, like myself included, like those words just automatic, even if you're at the point and you're both ready, it's like when you say it, it just seems like, whoa, like We're making this like so real. Like, what
why
is
are you making this, like, why are you making this so much more difficult? Why are you making this so much more complex? It's because like one person doesn't want the liability of not cheating, of not being with other people, of not talking, like they don't want the liability. Because like you can't, when you're not in like a relationship, like an established one, you can still be like, you can still talk to other people. Whereas like if you're in a relationship, it's like now you can't. And then people don't want to let that go. Which to me is weird.
I think that's why you're right. Like, I just feel like it's like that weird, like thing of freedom they're holding on to. Like, I just can't. Like, what I'm relating to right now is the initial, like, first season probably of like Sex and City with Big and Carrie. Like, Carrie was trying so hard to be like, what are we? Like, are we anything? And like, he wouldn't agree to it because obviously it was like a little bit in him that was like, even though it was just a dating relationship, he wouldn't want to give it up. And no one even knew why, because he ended up. But it's like that whole thing. And then even with what we were just talking about, how our generation just can't, what's it called? Like, we're giving all the benefits without the relationship. I haven't seen it, but apparently in the new Gossip Girl, it's very much like that. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
Oh.
Like a little bit. I don't know. Maybe now, but like before it wasn't. But we can relate it back to like the original Gossip Girl with Chuck and Blair in season 2 when he was like, just say it, whatever, right? And he wouldn't say it first. And then, or was it, no, sorry, it was season 1 and they were supposed to get on like a plane and go off to like Europe, but he never showed up. And he just like left Blair standing at the airport, scared. Remember? Because he was too scared to be in a relationship. He didn't want to.
But that was because his dad put it in his head, remember? His dad put it in his head, you're going to be whipped. Like, you really want to do this.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you can't
lose yourself as a man.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff. And he goes, you're really going to, like, run an empire with, like, Blair by your side? And then he was like, oh, okay. Is being in a relationship being vulnerable? Like, does that make me, like, weak? And I actually think, I think that stems to, like, a lot of guys in our generation that they're like, I feel like I can't, like, I hate the word simpy and simping. And I think they're like, oh, if I do all this, if I actually am in a relationship and I'm nice to a girl and all that stuff, it's like, I'm being a simp. Like, I can't do that. Like, my ego this, my ego that.
Well, my question to guys who are so scared of commitment and, like, so scared of the law, are we? Do you not intend on, like, settling down ever?
They say they do, though. They're like, oh, well, eventually. But it's like, what
is
wrong
with that? What's eventually?
Oh, but this, I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast. I don't remember. But the thing is, this is also, like, a fact. I've heard from people. I've heard from guys themselves. Whenever they flip, they have a switch. They will flip when they're like, this is it. I'm ready now. It doesn't matter who is in their life at that moment. The next partner, whoever, like, it is, will become, like, they'll obtain them. Like, right now, like, a guy could be, like, our age. What are they, like, 21, 22? They'll be like, I'm not ready. But, like, you could be with them. You could be, like, giving everything the next girl would be given. But then they're just not ready. But then in 2 years' time, they're like, that's it. I personally want to settle down. Boom. And then that's when girls will always have their thing, like, why her? Why not me? It actually is the guy. It is, because they just, it's their time in their life. They're like, this is it. And now I'm ready.
You're bringing up trauma that doesn't need to be brought up.
I'm sorry. I just added you and I didn't mean to.
So, next question. Should women make the first move?
Oh, nice segue.
That had to be like abrupt. We were getting too much into, I might have to watch. What's that movie that always gets me? He's Just Not That Into You. That one's like favorite. Like,
remember when we watched it in second year? Do you remember?
Yeah, we used to watch it like every other, like, you used to watch it like every other week.
Okay, well, don't at me though.
No, but like, it's fine. Mine is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's like my comfort movie. I have to watch it all the time.
Mine's actually Endless Love, the new version.
Is it?
I literally, and every time I see it on Netflix, I actually spam the page where to request every single, like, I spam it because I don't know why they take it off. It's so annoying.
Have you seen The Ghost of Girlfriend's Past? It's also
yeah.
I really like that one.
These movies are jokes.
But yeah, so should women make the first move?
I think I think that's appreciated, actually.
I think that looks better on TV and in movies than in real life. But there's a reason. Okay. It's not because, like, I'm like,
I'm
oh
with
no,
you.
Like, not, like, I'm not like anti-feminist in that sense. It's because I think when a woman lets a guy know, like, she's like that interested, like, that she's gonna ask, she's giving all her power. She's like giving all her power and like putting all her cards like right away, like in. Because there's no more like period or anything.
And I also think it obviously depends on the type of guy, but this is happening actually with my friend. If the guy ends up being a little bit on the kind of what we're gonna talk about, like the more on the ego side, I don't really wanna like have a relationship kind of thing. They'll hold it. They'll kind of like, not in a bad way, but they'll always be like, oh, end of the day, that you liked me first. Even if it ends up being equal, that person puts in more effort. Like right now, so for example, my friend, the way it happened, she basically fully said to like the mutual friend was like, oh, like I'm interested in person A, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so the middle man basically was like, okay, like I'll hook you guys up, like in a sense, you know, I'll get your socials and whatnot. So they started talking, whatnot, and like, it was never like spoken that that's what my friend did. Like fully was like, oh my god, like I want to talk to like person A, like can you like hook me up? But now like it's been in a nice way, it's been thrown in the face, like you liked me first, like let's not forget that you wanted to talk to me, you were interested in me, even though the person A has been putting in so much effort. It's like, I do agree with you in a sense, obviously I'm the type of guy, they can easily just be like, just good to know that like you like me more, even though it might not be true.
Guys, men, boys, whatever. So another like good segue into that one is like guys' form of communication and why use Snapchat at like the age we're at now. And I completely agree with this. I feel like Snapchat is so like, do my brother's on Snapchat like that? My brother's 16, right? I feel like that's such a for their age type of thing. Like if you're seriously talking to someone now, like why not just text?
No, I fully agree. If someone's trying to actually genuinely, like if you're typing conversations with me on Snap, get my number. Do not text me, what are you doing? What's up? How are you on Snapchat? Oh my God. Like I actually, like it has become, like I've hit that level of maturity now. I'm like, no. Like I'm not saying I won't snap you pictures and whatnot. Like I do, like I still am a person. I know some people would disagree. I still like using Snapchat in the sense of, because I like sending stuff I do and whatnot, but to talk to someone daily and whatnot? No. Like, I'm sorry. No. And I do think it's a red flag.
I think that the past one or two people that I've talked to have been over text. And so that's been like a stark difference to like talking over like Instagram or like Snapchat, which I'm like, no, text is better. It feels like more mature. It feels like
it does.
It seems more like authentic too. I don't know how to describe it.
I feel like it's like a sign. It's symbolism for the fact that like you're both interested in like wanting to talk with receipts. I don't know why. Like for me, I feel like, is it you don't want receipts? Like what is it? Like why on Snapchat? Like I don't know. And it's like Snapchat to me also, it's like you're able to be shady. You can hide, like you know what I mean? Because it's like a text is like on your phone, like it's there. It's like Snapchat's like, I guess if you're talking to multiple people, like you can hide that. Like I don't know what it is.
You need to leave the other thing.
Yeah, oh yeah, see like that too. And the other thing is like you said, it's kind of like a symbol in the sense like to show interest. Like if you said you start talking to someone via Instagram, by an app, if they say, can I get your number, you're like, oh, this means like you're kind of,
you were going somewhere,
you're going somewhere, you're not just, yeah, I agree, because that's happened a couple of times. I'm like, oh okay, like if I'm gonna give you my number, I'm actually gonna like not talk now.
I think like the difference for me, like say you know you're on a dating app and then someone's like, let me get your Snapchat, for me that's like, okay, you're just like kind of continuing this conversation onto there, and it's gonna turn into like everyday, like what are you doing, and like some lame reply, and that's it, and then just sending snaps back and forth. Whereas like the difference with like what like can I get your number is like it's gonna be like more, it's like more conversation,
and I think kind of more like fast pace, like let's genuinely not prolong this in a sense. Like you know people are like, oh like I have a person, people are like, I have a 3-month limit of a talking stage or whatnot. It's like, let's talk on text, maybe like meet, call, something. Like see, like I'm not trying to waste time. Like if it's on Snapchat, it's like I'm here to waste time. That's what it's giving.
Pretty much like
I think that's some good quality conversations we've had a lot about the relationship aspect. We'll try and we might segue onto a different topic next week, more about school and whatnot.
Unfortunately.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening.
Yep. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.